Api Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 2nd chapter, entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, text number 32. Vinirduta shesha mano mala puman. Asanga vigyane vishesha viryavan. Yadangri mule krita ketana puna. Na samsitim klesa vaham prapajati. Vinir duta shesa mano mala puman. Asanga vigyana vishesa viryavan. Yadangri mule krita ketana puna. Na samsitim klesha vaham prapadyate. Vinirduta shesha mano mala puman. Asanga vigyana vishesa viryavan. Yadangri mule krita ketana puna. Na samsitim klesha vaham prapadyate.
Vinirduta.
being specifically cleansed.
Ashesha,
unlimited.
Manahamalaha,
mental speculation. Or the dirt accumulated in the mind.
Puman,
the person.
Asanga,
being disgusted.
Vijnana,
scientifically.
Vishesha,
particularly.
Viryavan,
being strengthened in bhakti yoga.
Yad,
whose.
Angri,
lotus feet.
Mule,
at the root of.
Kritakitana,
taken shelter.
Punah,
again.
Na,
never.
Samsritin,
material existence.
Klesavaham,
full of miserable conditions.
Prapadyati,
takes two. Translation. When a devotee takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is completely cleansed of all misunderstanding or mental speculation, and he manifests renunciation. This is possible only when one is strengthened by practicing bhakti yoga. Once having taken shelter at the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, a devotee never comes back to this material existence, which is full of the threefold miseries. Purport. As stated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sixastic, instructions by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, or by the process of hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord, one's mind is gradually cleansed of all dirt. Due to our material association since time immemorial, we have accumulated heaps of dirty things in our mind. The total effect of this takes place when a living entity identifies himself with his body and is thus entrapped by the stringent laws of material nature and put into the cycle of repeated birth and death under the false impression of bodily identification. When one is strengthened by practicing bhakti yoga, his mind is cleansed of this misunderstanding and he's no longer interested in material existence or in sense gratification. Bhakti or devotional service is characterized by vairagya and gyan. Gyan refers to understanding that one is not his body, and vairagya means disinterest in sense gratification. These two primary principles of separation from material bondage can be realized on the strength of bhakti yoga. Thus, when a devotee is fixed in the loving service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he will never come back to this material existence. After quitting his body, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord, Chaktadeyam punarjanma naitimam iti surjuna. In this verse, the word vijnan is specifically important. Jnan, the knowledge of spiritual identity that one attains when he does not consider himself to be the body, is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Brahma-bhuta, the revival of spiritual realization. In a conditioned state of material existence, one cannot be spiritually realized because he identifies himself materially. The understanding of the distinction between material existence and spiritual existence is called jnana. After coming to the platform of jnana, or the Brahma-bhuta state, one ultimately comes to devotional service, in which he completely understands his own position and the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding is explained here as vijnana vishesha. The Lord says, therefore, that knowledge of him is vijnana, science. In other words, when one is strengthened by scientific knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his position of liberation is guaranteed. In Bhagavad Gita 9.2, the science of devotional service is described as pratyakshavagamam dharmyam, direct understanding of the principles of religion by realization. By practicing bhakti yoga, one can directly perceive his advancement in spiritual life. In other practices like karma, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga, one may not be confident about his progress, But in bhakti yoga, one can become directly aware of his process in spiritual life, just as a person who eats can understand that his hunger is satisfied. Our false appetite for enjoyment and lordship of the material world is due to a prominence of passion and ignorance. By bhakti yoga, these two qualities are diminished, and one becomes situated in the mode of goodness. Gradually surpassing the mode of goodness, one is situated in pure goodness, which is not contaminated by the material qualities. When thus situated, a devotee no longer has any doubts. He knows that he will not come back to this material world. Om Agyanatimurandasya Ginandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yenatasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakan Vitamscha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So when a devotee takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is completely cleansed of all misunderstanding or mental speculation. So taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord then is not so simple. It is not just a matter of saying, Krishna, I am yours. That is very clear. I'm just thinking of myself, my beginning in Krishna consciousness, where I shaved up and exactly sort of said that, from now on, Krishna, I'm yours. But as to the day of today, I realized that actually I'm not. And after all this time, still not Krishna's, still having an independent agenda, still struggling to overcome a part in ourself that wants something different, something else, that comes up with proposals, come for other type of activity, or that that thinks of happiness that may be found elsewhere than at the lotus feet of Krishna. Of course, with intelligence, we can immediately cut down such thoughts, and that is our saving grace. Therefore, we need knowledge, transcendental knowledge, so that we can cut any such desires, any such thoughts that might occur in our consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, apuryamanam achala pratistam apasamudra pravisanti atvatta tvatkamaya pravisanti sarve shashanti abnoti nakama kami, it is explained that the rivers are flowing into the ocean, but the ocean is so full that actually all that influx of water is not making any real difference in the levels of the ocean. The ocean thus is not affected. So one who is filled, is full with devotional service to Krishna, he cannot be affected by the illusory energy, even when sometimes the illusory energy may appear to be attractive. It is not possible. Thus the key is to be always absorbed in service, to be that one's service becomes very dense, sandrananda visesatma, that devotional service becomes more and more dense. It is said in the beginning we engage in devotional service because we develop some faith. We develop some faith in transcendental knowledge. We develop some faith in pure devotees. We develop some faith in Krishna. But that is it. But then gradually we begin to take up devotional service, but only with time we come to the stage of nistha, where our service becomes more and more dense. It's that when we advance further still, then we experience great taste. It is at the state of experiencing great taste that one can speak from real detachment. At that state, one is detached. Then virakti is effect. It is said, bhakti parasana bhava anyasa trike ikakala prapada manasya shus tusti pusti kusti nugasam. It is explaining that, like the eating process, just like in eating one becomes satisfied, one becomes filled, and all appetite disappears until one comes to the point, no, really, I'm absolutely not attracted to any of these foodstuffs anymore. No, thank you. Even my favorite prep, no thanks. I'm not attracted. So this is how it works with Maya. That at one point, one is simply no longer attracted to Maya because one is so filled with Krishna. Thus, our focus is not on overcoming material desires or on overcoming Maya, but our focus is on becoming more and more absorbed in devotional service. It is there where we are meditating, it is there where we place our energy, and then, material desires, who cares about them anyway? Just like the ultimate material desires, sexual activity, I thought about that, and I thought a devotee can begin with a declaration of no faith in sex. That it will not make one happy. And if one has that faith, that it will not make one happy, even if there is some enjoyment. There is a difference between enjoyment, temporary enjoyment, and being happy. Maybe there is some enjoyment, but it will not make us happy. It will not make us fulfilled. So when that faith is strong, that a declaration of no faith in sex, then even when it addresses itself as an option, it says no, then one can easily say no. That is the state of one in nistha, who can easily say no, who easily is fixed in firm faith, it's not there where satisfaction will be found. It's very important that we come to that state at least. That state will be attained by absorbing transcendental knowledge. Prabhupada said, if you come by sentiment, you will leave by sentiment. Thus, we must be rooted in philosophy. We must thoroughly understand this philosophy. And we must thoroughly understand the difference between enjoyment and happiness. That is not so simple, not so easy. But it is a fact that happiness is of a different nature. Because happiness must be lasting. But people think, no, I'm enjoying, I'm very happy. Yes, but if your enjoyment is doomed to end, then what's the point? What's the point? Today on top of the wave, tomorrow down. What is the point? So, like this, one must learn to see with intelligence. Shreyam acharanam sada. One must act for within a long-term perspective. One must see within a long-term perspective what is the long-term result of all these activities. And only if the long-term result offers happiness, then then it is intelligent. Otherwise, it's foolish, actually. Otherwise, one is simply falling prey to the mind. The mind which is manifesting thinking, feeling, and willing, and will drive us along the path. And naturally, the three modes of material nature will create different types of circumstances in all kinds of varieties of sometimes happiness, sukha dukkha, sometimes distress. So, renunciation based on knowledge is never strong. Such renunciation is always weak. If our renunciation, it is said, balavan indriyan gramo vidvamsam apikarsati, the senses are very strong, even a learned person is struggling. So renunciation based on knowledge is not strong. That renunciation is maintained with a struggle, vidvamsam apikarsati, even one in knowledge is struggling. But it is higher tastes, visaya, vinivartante, niraharasya. It is that higher taste that will help us. So at ruchi, really, as we are going deeper in our service, in deeper and deeper appreciate how wonderful this service is. Not that we are so self-centered that every step of the way we're thinking, yes, this service is so nice, but we are remembering Krishna is so nice that he's giving this devotional service. How merciful is Krishna? How kind is Krishna? How amazing is Krishna? I often think of the Holy Dham, and when I think of the Holy Dham, it makes me think of how amazing Krishna is, because I'm thinking that the living being turned away from Krishna, left Krishna on his own accord, and Krishna was not happy with that. Because although we discuss Krishna's Atmaram, he's fully satisfied within himself, but he cannot bear to see the living entity suffering in an unfulfilled condition. So Krishna is thinking, I must give this fallen soul some mercy. So if we would think like that, we would think, yes, I must give this person some mercy, so we would give him a drop of mercy. But Krishna doesn't give a drop. Krishna's thinking, yes, I must give him some mercy. How much shall I give him? And Krishna decides that he'll give him everything, because he gives the whole spiritual world. Krishna then, in his brilliance, puts the entire spiritual world in the material world. And thus the conditioned souls have access to the entire spiritual world, the spiritual world's entirety. That shows something about Krishna. How when he gives mercy, he doesn't give just some mercy, he just gives everything. That is the nature of Krishna. So in devotional service, time and time again, we should remember and see how this service is filled with the mercy of Krishna. It is that which makes devotional service so amazing. How it is so potent, and how it is so filled with mercy, and how it can so totally transform everything in our life, and thus, day by day, as we are contemplating in service like this, our appreciation for Krishna is becoming deeper and deeper. And as a result, we become more and more attached to Krishna. And thus, our ruchi is transforming more and more into ashakti, into deep attachment for Krishna. And the more we enter into this state of deep attachment, the more we think of Krishna with great intensity, continuously, all the time. Then, it is said, then one comes to the state of deep emotional attachment to Krishna. And at that state, one cannot bear to be separated from Krishna for a moment, to not be fully absorbed in Krishna for a moment. Not just as a sadhana that one is constantly practicing. A person who is in nista is very serious. In Nista, one is very serious about not wasting a moment. In Nista, one is always making some arrangement, either chanting, either hearing, either doing some service. That is Nista. In Nista, one, the whole day is filled with arrangements. Sometimes even we try to make sure we think of Krishna while sleeping. Soft Mahamantra in the background, or the milk and the Krishna book before sleeping, whatever. Somehow or other, even that is within the thought of a person within Nista, to stay Krishna conscious during one's sleep. But in the more advanced stages of devotional service, it is a matter of absorption. The absorption is very deep and complete, and the absorption is specifically in deep appreciation for the mercy of Krishna. Once I looked at the topic of mercy, and I looked at different words that were used for mercy, and we know that there are words used such as daya, kripa, anukampan. The word daya oftentimes is used for a very broad type of mercy, which is available to all. The word kripa is not always, sometimes also used general, but often used for a more specific, personal type of mercy, like in reciprocation to a particular activity, particular desire. The word anukampan is also referring to the general mercy of the Lord. And then when I was looking at the liberated devotees, the devotees who are described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the eternal associates of the Lord in Golok, then the word mercy that was found there was practically always prasad. Right? It was always prasad. Right? That was it. In all those verses, the word mercy is practically prasad. Right? So it's very interesting. At one point, it's all prasad. Right? One begins to see everything as prasadam. One begins to see everything as the wonderful arrangement of the Supreme Lord, which is vibrating, full of spiritual potency, which is a total blessing. And one begins to see this blessing everywhere. And thus, once Krishna consciousness goes to another level, we can initially walk into the temple and think, okay, well, let's see Radha Gopinath, let's see them. But as we are appreciating more and more, we appreciate that everything about the temple is completely transcendental. The floor is filled with transcendental dust, for example. Yes, one can roll on the floor and become purified. There is so much mercy. The walls have been purified by all the kirtan, right? And are just no longer... The living beings are sarvaga. They are everywhere. There are living beings all over. All those living beings in the wall have become devotees. Thus, even the walls are Krishna conscious in this transcendental castle. Like that, one could see. Right? One could see. Now I'm sort of doing it as a philosophical exercise, but one could see spontaneous. In this way, one could see Krishna's mercy more and more present everywhere. And the more one sees Krishna's mercy present everywhere, the more one is appreciating the kindness of the Lord, the loving nature of the Lord, and how the Lord is everywhere. And as we are appreciating the loving nature of the Lord, we are naturally drawn towards Him. Then Krishna consciousness is no longer something where we have to force the mind on Krishna and forcibly bring it back from thoughts to Maya. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. and try somehow or other not to become again distracted by Maya. So it is a matter of actually recognizing the mercy of Krishna. That is the principal meditation, and it is there where one goes deeper and deeper, and it is there where one's love naturally awakens. Because if someone is kind to us, then that awakens love in our heart, naturally. If someone is going out of his way, especially causeless mercy, is like very kind to us, and we haven't even done anything for it. That's sort of like, wow, you know, that is amazing. Something, a little appreciation comes in the heart. So if we see how Krishna is just making endless, endless arrangements and fills everything with his mercy, then love for Krishna will automatically awaken in our heart. It's not alien. Thus, love of God, Krishna Prem, is not something alien. Not something that we cannot understand. Although we cannot, in our present state, appreciate the intensity of love of God. That's impossible. We are dull. Very dull. Our feelings are sort of gross and not very deep, shallow. And then, so, you know, we have some ecstasy in the kirtan, Hari Bol, and we feel enthused in Krishna consciousness for 5 minutes, and then again in our normal state, burned out. The dullness that is in us, that is, doesn't allow us to have very deep feelings in relation to Krishna. So it takes time to begin to appreciate Krishna. And there are so many levels to appreciate Krishna. But one of the central verses to the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a verse which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote. It is an invitation to the devotee. And it is said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karaha Vichar. Vichara Karite Chitte Pava Chamatkar. So, an open invitation of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to try and understand what is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Try and understand the nature of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as you're trying to do that, so then your heart will fill with amazement. Just amazing. So this is how it works. That we just try to recognize the mercy of Krishna. We're trying to see the mercy of Krishna everywhere. And gradually, that is the meditation. The residents of Vrindavan are constantly seeing everything as prasad. It's all prasad, 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 prasad. The mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Krishna. They just see the mercy of Krishna all the time and everywhere. We think like, well, you know, 6 months ago, I definitely got the mercy of Krishna. You know, I had a dream about Krishna, so I got the mercy of Krishna. I still remember. Right? If we have a little interactive session and ask everything, can you remember an instant when you got the mercy of Krishna? We all go, yeah. Yeah, I remember, 12 years ago. But no, the mercy of Krishna was there also 12 seconds ago. And in fact, it is there right now in different ways. It is there constantly. And it is very, very rich and very full. So this is our meditation. When a devotee takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is completely cleansed of all misunderstanding. Taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, it basically means that we are in the full presence of the Lord, but we are taking a humble position. That is one thing. It means man mana bhava mad bhakto majajimam namaskuru. It means that we are bowing down. That we are bowing down not only physically, but that we are bowing down our consciousness, our will, our independence. Manmana bhava madbhakto. With bhava, we are completely in our consciousness, bowing down before Krishna and say, Krishna, yes, whatever, your will prevail, not mine. That is the beginning. So bowing down to Krishna. Here, it is said, once having taken shelter at the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, yat angri mule, that is also interesting, that mule, the root of the Lord's lotus feet. It's also not explained particularly. The root of something is its origin. It is where it begins. There is nothing beyond it. There's absolutely nothing beyond the root of Krishna. Of course, it is clear from the Brahma Samhita that Krishna is his own root. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satsidananda Vigraha, Anadir, Adir Govinda. He has no other origin than himself. So Krishna is his own root. Still, looking at the root of his lotus feet, it is the most humble position. It leaves no room for anything else then. When we go to the very root of the lotus feet, then we're going to the very, the deepest point of surrender, so to speak. That's how I read it, the deepest point of surrender. Yes, that is where we bow down, to that point, not leaving the slightest bit of space as we're bowing down. Not a tiny little bit of personal agenda. We find a similar idea is in the verse Ridaya Kandare Vosachinandana, that in the inner core, in the innermost chambers of the heart, there must be Sachinandan. Which makes me think of an Indian house, you know, like I know Indian houses very well. The traditional Indian house has a courtyard in the middle. Courtyards are very useful. You can keep cows there, for one thing. They do. They have a cow. Also, it creates ventilation, because you get air from all sides in hot climate, very good. Plus, the inner house around the courtyard is really the place where the ladies and the children are staying in the private quarters. And the ladies have particularly the inner quarters around the courtyard and the roof. And then the outer quarters, that's more where the men stay. And then next to the entrance, those are the public quarters. I'm talking now an aristocratic house. You have to have a little money to have such a house. But it's an aristocratic Indian house. And then next to the entrance, there are the public rooms. So if any guest comes, they let him in that room, and he's there, and he's in the house, but yet not in the house. So it's very convenient, the way it's arranged. So taking that back to the heart, we also have our public rooms, right? All the feelings that I share, if you know what happened to me. Yes, yes. I want some sympathy and whatnot, you know. Yes. I'll tell you my greatest secret. No, I will not. Because my greatest secret, I will not even act as if I have it. Right? The hidden files. Right? Back to Peter. Yes. The hidden files in the heart. And control H doesn't work. It doesn't. Yeah. Yes, the hidden files in the heart. Are there? No, no, I have no secrets, nothing, completely open. Mm-mm. Still not. It says in the innermost chambers, there must be Sachinandana. When that verse is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that yes, we must let Lord Chaitanya into our heart. So then he will do the rest, because he is a lion. He's a lion. Simha Chaitanya. He is a lion. He has the shoulders of a lion. He was born under the
sign of astrological sign of a lion. He roars like a lion, and with his lion-like nature, he will drive away our elephant-like vices. And all the elephants run away in our heart. The big sins, they run away. So this is really what we need, Lord Chaitanya. When I read this verse, it is a verse which is, in a sense, outlining sadhana bhakti, the process of sadhana bhakti, and how step by step, by following that process, we can become purified. But all along the way, we remember that we are very poor, poor sadhakas, poor in sadhana, that we struggle, that we are just not very good at it, and therefore we pray to Lord Chaitanya. We know we need that special help. Sometimes it is stated that the chanting of Hare Krishna is an eternal activity, and that the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra did not only exist within this Kali Yuga, but that it exists always, in all yugas. So, then why is it not the Yuga Dharma in other yugas? If it's already there, then why only in Kali Yuga? Why, if it is the highest, the chanting? It is, of all processes, the chanting is the topmost process. So is it only the topmost process in Kali Yuga? And is in the Dwapara Yuga deity worship the topmost process? Or is chanting always the topmost process? It ought to be. How can it once be the topmost process and another time not be the topmost process? The truth is the truth. It cannot change. So this is a little bewildering if we think about it. So, well, yes, the chanting is always the topmost process, but it may not always be widely available, right? Because the Lord may not reveal it to that same extent. So it may only be available to those who are somehow or other finding it. But in the Kali Yuga, of course, the Lord is widely distributing it. So then everyone, even whether they want it or not, right, they get it, right? I don't know how it happened, you know, like somehow or other, I became a Hare Krishna. I wasn't planning that. It was a sort of, I really don't know how that happened. At what point I got hypnotized. So it is widely distributed. That is one thing. But the other thing is that there is a special added factor, the special mercy, the added mercy of Lord Chaitanya, katanchana smrite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet, who makes difficult things easy. And that, thus, the result of chanting is now also very quickly attained. So, although it is eternal, although the holy name is non-different from the Lord, although it is always non-different from the Lord, so in any, and therefore in any yuga, one can get Krishna prem through the chanting of the holy name. In any yuga, it cannot be any different. But in this age of Kali, with the added mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's very easy to get. The result is very quickly obtained and very easily obtained. And it is widely available. So that makes it more prominent in this age, which also illustrates my point that we need that mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That without it, we will not make it. We have to really pray to Lord Chaitanya to help us take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, to help us to chant Hare Krishna, to help us to follow four regulative principles, to help us to stay awake, you know, while reading, to help us to somehow or other, you know, make it in spirit, to last for a lifetime, somehow or other, right? Now more gray hairs start to come in Krishna consciousness, and now it is the dangerous time. Now is the time that we might relax, that we might think, oh well, close to the finish now, you know, don't have to be so fanatic anymore, like I used to be. Huh? Now I can relax a bit. Bang! Nikatistamaya tara japati ahaya. Maya is waiting nearby to slap you down, Jagadananda Pandit says in Prema Vivarta. So, one has to be careful. So, that dependence, that constant dependence on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, is the one and only factor that can really make our spiritual life completely fruitful. That is the requirement. Nothing else will do. And then, of course, one might say, yes, but then there is Srila Prabhupada. And he extended the mercy even further. Right? Yes, how can you prove it? Well, one example I can give is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will only take prasadam in the house of a lakhpati, one who has 100,000. So everyone thought, only in the house of a rich man. Then Lord Chaitanya said, no, only in the house of one who chants 100,000 names I will take prasadam. That's 64 rounds. Does he accept our offerings? Ding, 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 ding. Lord Chaitanya.
I'm not eating today.
Please. No, but because Srila Prabhupada said, right, it can be done. So Prabhupada gave us 16 rounds. Those 16 rounds are not just 16 rounds, some arbitrary number, but what did Prabhupada do with those 16 rounds? He didn't just lower the number of rounds, he lowered the threshold for going back to Godhead. At 16 rounds, one is eligible, 4x 16 rounds for a lifetime, eligible to go back to Godhead. Several times Prabhupada said it like that. So that's not bad. That's so one shouldn't hesitate. Shall I chant 8 or 10 or 12? Or, no. Some are, 16 is so difficult. This morning I read about one devotee who was very ill, a girl. She was very ill and therefore very weak and had difficulty in finishing her rounds. So Prabhupada actually came while she was on her deathbed, they said. Then she asked, he said, what will happen if I don't finish my 16 rounds, if I cannot finish my 16 rounds? And Prabhupada said, then you will take birth in an aristocratic family or a wealthy family or a family of devotees in your next life. Boom. I mean, it's quite, quite something. Yeah. So let us not take it lightly, somehow or other. Let us really fix ourselves on these 16 rounds and four regulative principles. You see, if you study the letters that Prabhupada writes to his disciples, again and again he writes, chant your 16 rounds, follow four regulative principles. He repeats it again and again to the devotees who've already promised it. So that speaks for itself. So we should take that upon ourselves to not become slack in chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles. That is sometimes, one devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, please give me the mercy that I can follow your instructions. And Prabhupada said, my instructions, that is my mercy. That is my mercy. Okay. So with that, I'll end. Any questions? Any comments? Yeah.
Because root is also the sustaining that which from which
Good. Good. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Nourishment. So the root, he says that the root is also that which sustains us, from which nourishment comes. So, yes. Yes. Very good. Right. Yeah. Yeah. If I could say in a few words, I would say then there was fanaticism mixed with strictness, or the other way, strictness mixed with fanaticism, and now there may be liberalism mixed with slackness. So it's just like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And relatively speaking, I would say there's very little fear of Maya right now.
Hmm.
So that, what do you think of that over time? And it's kind of scary.
Right. Therefore, I think that we need more people in the renounced order. Because they live more on the cutting edge. And I think that ISKCON, as a society, has not yet fully developed. Because I think that the percentage of people who are in a renounced ashram, whether vanaprastha or sannyas, are really too low right now, are ridiculously low for a healthy society. And that a healthy society needs that elderly generation. You see it in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the elders, the role of the elders to keep the younger generations on track. You know, that's what we need. If we have an elderly generation who is renounced and strict in that way, because renunciation brings automatically strictness, it creates that sort of dynamics once again in society. Whereas previously it came from it was only brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, and then it's all on determination, and then the fanaticism so easily kicks in, whereas in the vanaprastha stage, there is maturity, there's realization, there's wisdom with it. So therefore, then that renunciation takes a more human face. Whereas the other, renunciation, which is practiced on the strength of determination, alone can be very harsh and inconsiderate and therefore cause a lot of suffering to the persons who inflict it upon themselves and others. Usually they inflict it on others as well, as much as on themselves. The water is not cold. And here upstairs, the tap had been sawed off. It had been sawed off. You couldn't bring your own tap. That's how it was when I first came. I remember that. I checked it out. The point sticking out had been cut off with a hacksaw.
On the mirror, it said,
Yeah, so we need mature people. They really, this Vana Prastha, right? Yeah, we appreciate your story very much. But coming back, the Vana Prastha ashram is not just something optional. Society depends on it very much. That's the point. And our society depends on it, and it's still lacking, I think. That I really feel strongly and just say, and I know Jayadvaita Maharaj will bless me for saying. Anybody else? It's terrible. Terrible. What are you gonna do in those 15 years? You know? What are you gonna do? In this age, you know, nothing works, right? The only if you go into the forest you get arrested. It's not allowed to stay in the forest. Right? So the only thing that possibly will work is just preach. You know? It's like the same old, it's like when those basements were full of books and Prabhupada said, now distribute them or starve. It's preach or starve. Yeah. No, we must live of our preaching. Then it's like I also know as a traveling preacher, the more I'm active and move, the more money I make. If I move fast, if I travel fast and I do lots of programs, boy, I mean, I'm raking it in. Here in Radadesh right now, I'm losing a lot of money. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
I have a classic question, but you stop.